All right. Starting in, I want to read a few select passages from 1 Corinthians 1 and then comment on some things on chapter 2 as it leads into chapter 3. Paul starts in chapter 1 and verse 10 of saying, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you. Now, Paul is not saying this arbitrarily. If you read this, you might get the idea that he's trying to tell them to do something of their own strength. But let's face some facts. Here's one of the conclusions we need to draw because of what we get into in chapter 2. When Paul appeals to his brethren here in Corinth to agree with one another that there be no divisions, he doesn't mean just in their own power, just, well, let's just decide to agree no matter what the issues are. Now, we have an entire subculture today based upon the idea that, well, we should just agree to disagree. We should just sweep so that there don't not be any divisions among us. We shouldn't talk about of any real issues. That's not what he's saying here, is it? Let's just sweep our differences under the rug. You know that he's not, and you know he's not talking about them getting together to debate and argue, because no agreement ever comes out of that, does it? How many of you have been to some of these debates here on Pal Talk? Did anybody end up agreeing when it was over? When a person gave their point of view versus another person's point of view, do that? No, it doesn't happen that way, does it? So when he says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas, Peter. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? And that's the point. When he's telling them that they should agree, he wants them to examine on what their agreement is based upon. He didn't just ask them, and this is what people miss when they read this. He didn't just ask them, oh, I would that you all agree. I appeal to you, brothers, that you would agree. He said, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so there may be no divisions among you. In other words, the agreement should not be with themselves, but rather the focus of their agreement is in Christ. And so whose power? Whose power does that agreement have to come by? I appeal to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Not just I appeal to you to agree. He never meant here to just for them to just arbitrarily try to find agreement with each other. Right, and that's exactly what they're saying. I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm this, I'm that. And the point is, he brings up, if I ask you to agree in the name of Jesus Christ, is Christ divided? So where is the power of their agreement supposed to come? It's supposed to come from God, through Jesus Christ. It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be according an agreement in the Spirit, not according to fleshly means. How many of you see that point? And do you see how easily it is to miss that? All right. So this is the point. So the next part in chapter 1 he talks about is the difference between Christ being the wisdom and power of God versus men and their own wisdom. He said, for the message of the cross, in verse 18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So, if the message of the cross Paul is trying to say that that is the basis of our agreement. And the message of the cross isn't found in men's minds. The message of the cross is found in Scripture by the Holy Ghost. Right? The message of Christ is the wisdom and power of God. So our dependence, right here, can you see that our dependence is upon the Scriptures through the Spirit? Not depending on how wise men think they are. The wisdom of power in God is this message of the gospel, and it's only found in one place, isn't it? The Scriptures through the Spirit. Hello, Cassie. Good to see you. Welcome, Eagles Fly. So, and he goes on to say that I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. So, right here he makes it plain what he means by, I appeal to you, brothers, to agree in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes it clear that it's not the wisdom of men that he expects you to lean on, but the wisdom and power of God, the one gospel. And that didn't originate with you. It originates through the Scriptures by the Spirit. Right? It originates with God. How many of you can see that point? So, And this is real important, because the basis of our unity, therefore, the basis of our unity is going to be this procedure. Now listen closely, and you tell me if you can see this in the Scriptures we've just read. The basis of our unity is going to be in the purity of the gospel message as revealed to us through the Scriptures by the Spirit. Not from men's minds or men's opinions or men's interpretations, but the basis of our unity in one message is a message that comes through the Spirit by the Scriptures. This message, which is the wisdom and power of God. So there is a natural flow into how it works. First, you must submit yourself to the Scriptures by the Spirit. Right? It's a matter, the purity of the gospel message and learning the truth of what the gospel says is a matter of your submission to the Scriptures by the Spirit of God. That's prayerful communion, isn't it? Can you see that? Not dependent upon your thinking, your thoughts, your intelligence, or any other man's intelligence or wisdom, but the wisdom and power of God's already written down for us. And the Holy Spirit will only activate it through these Scriptures. That's why there's only one message. And this lays a point. If your message, if your gospel is different from the one in the Scripture, you're not walking in the power of God. Isn't it awesome? It's an awesome thing to have this understanding. We have right here in our hands, given to us as a gift by God through Jesus Christ, the key to what the church needs for unity. We have a pure gospel message given to us, and we must submit to that. Is that clear? God is going to restore a unity of the faith through the purity of the gospel. That's why these are the first two things he is concerned with where the church is concerned. One pure gospel, one unity of the faith. Because men are dependent upon their own thinking and the wisdom of men instead of the word of God. This is why Jesus said, man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not by bread alone. By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our dependence is upon what God says and what God thinks. Remember where he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways than your ways? Our dependence is upon God. Not any man's interpretation of his scripture. The Holy Spirit. Now, in chapter 2, Paul lays this out again in detail. He says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, I was dependent on the same thing I was asking you to be dependent on. Right? The power of the cross. I was dependent upon the same thing I am asking you to be dependent on. The power of the cross. I didn't come as the great man to you. I didn't come as the great apostle or the wise man or the wisdom of men. I came to you as one that is dependent upon the power of God through the gospel message, through the cross. And I invited you to come into that same dependence. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and in fear, with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Now, this is the interesting point. Notice, when he says that you may be dependent upon God's power, I came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. He didn't just say it was Him, so he's not talking about miracles. He's talking about the gospel. I came to you, listen, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. In other words, I told you the simple gospel from the Scriptures, and it was the Holy Ghost that quickened it to your heart and made it real. That your dependence be upon the power of God, and not on me being wise and persuasive. You see that? My message and my preaching. In other words, this message did not originate with Paul. He gave them the true gospel message from the Scriptures, and depended upon the Holy Ghost to make it real in their hearts. To activate it. To make it living water. How many of you see that? So now we not only have, when you see this, we not only have the operation of how dependence upon the gospel by the power of the Spirit through the Scriptures is how we do these things, but it also shows you where the power comes from. The power comes by the Spirit, doesn't it? To activate the Word. Paul goes on to say, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom that has been hidden and that God designed for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood. For if they had, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. This secret wisdom, you know, all of this stuff that we have been talking about in the pattern of God, that carnal men can't see, all of this stuff for a long time now that we've been talking about in here, see, that's all based upon revelation of the Spirit, not a man's interpretation, huh? And what's more, it can be demonstrated as demonstration of the Spirit's power. Get it? I didn't come to you with wise and persuasive words of wisdom, but I came to you with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, my message and my preaching. Well, let me ask you, can we say that here in this room? That we have not depended on a man's wisdom or a man's understanding, But clearly we can see these things demonstrated through the Scripture as they're revealed to us by the power of the Spirit. In other words, it's not just one man understands it and has to explain it to everybody else, but rather it can be demonstrated through the Scripture so that we all come to understanding by the power of the Spirit. Right? Can you see the operation has not changed in 2,000 years? We are dependent upon the Holy Spirit to make the Scriptures real to us. This is how it works. Now, the same power that we depend upon to understand what the truth is the same power our unity lies in. Can y'all see that? The same power we come to understand the truth of the Scripture is the same power that our unity lies in. We are held together by no less than the Holy Spirit. We are held together as a body. He is what joins us together as one. And He does it through the Scriptures, through this message, through this shared good news. And He activates it and makes it real to us so that we have something tangible to hold on to. We have substance instead of just men's wisdom, which perishes. I want you to see how deep the cord of power that binds us together as one is. And you can see that much of it, the understanding that we are sharing in, is the proof of that power, because that understanding is common. And you know that it's not revealed to other men, is it? It's not revealed to those who are prideful and will not submit to it. It's not revealed to those who hold their opinions above what the Scripture says. It's only revealed to those who will submit themselves to the Scripture by the Spirit. Right? So, another part of the key to our unity is the humility of submission. Can you see how this is demonstrated? For yourself, do you see how these things I'm saying is demonstrated? A dependence upon God and a submission before upon God through what He has given us, the Scriptures, by the Holy Spirit. You're not trying to manufacture your own understanding. You're not trying to figure out the gospel. You are depending on having it revealed to you by God through what He has provided, and then to walk in it together. This is what makes us one living, breathing entity. The same Spirit lives in you that lives in me. And it only operates by this gospel message. That's why our dependence just has to be upon what the Scripture says, not what we would interpret it to say, or not what we would desire it to say. God has thrown us down a rope from heaven to hold on to. It's just like being out in the water, falling overboard off of a ship, and they throw you a rope. They throw you a life preserver. If you do anything to compromise that life preserver, you're going to die. I mean, who swims around in the water below and says, oh, I could make this life preserver better than it is? You see what I'm saying? God has let us down a rope from heaven. It is the power to save us. And that's this gospel message. What makes it tangible and real is His Holy Spirit that backs it up. But you must submit to it the way it is. And this also shows you that if you give your ability to choose to another man you're going to be taken into bondage and you're not going to get the right gospel. If you base anything upon your opinion or another man's opinion, then you're not humbling yourself to this power. And that's why the rulers of this world will never understand. They will not humble themselves. Can y'all see the basis of this? So when we get to talking about divisions, it tells us at the end of chapter 2 that the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Because we judge by the Spirit and power of God. By the Scriptures through the Spirit. In other words, we don't judge with our own minds. We judge with a right judgment. We submit ourselves to what is true and what is holy. We don't try to remanufacture it. Yeah. We have a real rope here to climb up on. That's been thrown to us. It's tangible. It is the power of the living God that makes the Scriptures a reality to you. It's not just your thinking. You understand? It's more than that.